Ariel and Shirley to give us an encouragement.
Encouragement talaga.
Hindi sexing session.
Hi, ladies.
All right. Good morning, ladies. Well, ganito pala feeling if you're preaching na babae lang lahat. Ano? Mas nako-conscious yata ako ah.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Excited ako. At the same time, I'm nervous, ha? So, bear with me, okay?
All right. We have a disclaimer because actually I sent a note or your student notes to Zane. Kasi in-edit namin ng konti because of the time. So, I'm not sure if you have exactly what we're going to be teaching, but just bear with us. We're going to try to just synchronize what we have with what you have. All right? So, ito na. This is a little bit practical this morning. We're going to go practical. On finances, and I believe that we can all relate because somehow I do want to take the back seat para mas maraming masabi si Shirley.
Hindi.
Kasi napakaganda ng misis ko ngayong umaga ng to.
Ngayon lang yan ha, for you, Nax.
Alright. So can we just pray first? Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for these wives, Lord God. We thank you for your calling upon each and every one of their lives, Lord. We thank you that they are a great support to their husbands. We thank you, Lord God, that as a pastor's wife, Lord God, there's a unique call. And Lord, we know, God, that you have given so much grace upon each one, Lord God, as they help in the home and also help in the church as well, Lord God. So we lift up to you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Maybe before we get to some personal discussions, kasi nga I believe Shirley has also planned to share some personal stuff, okay? In the area of finance, hindi yung isang area, okay? For those of you who attended our farmer session, you know what I mean. But anyway, so we're going to talk about finances. And so I'd like to just, maybe in your notes, I just wanted to synchronize. I want to give you some financial facts. It says, according to some studies, that 50% of marriages fail and finances is the leading source of separation by a factor of 4:1. And there's a lot of other topics or a lot of different issues in marriage, whether it's communication, whether it's infidelity, sex, or finance. And they found out that among all the factors that separates a husband and a wife, 50% of 4:1 is dealing with finances. The sad reality is not even the ministry people are exempt from this. So this is actually a hard fact that's put out there. So it's not just the people in the world that are going through this, but even people in the ministry. Okay. Next slide. It says at the age of 65. Okay, so I just want to give you some stats. No? 45% are still dependent on the relatives. And, you know, when you talk about 65, diba, normally 65 is the age of retirement. And I'm not going to ask a show of hands here. Mukhang bata pa naman kayo lahat. No? Malayo pa tayo ron, diba? Tama? In Jesus' name, okay? 45% are still dependent on relatives. Okay, sad reality. They could not retire because they have not prepared for the future. 30% are dependent on charity or dole out. About 23% still are working and they have no choice but to work simply because if they don't work, they won't have anything, they won't eat. And so they fail to be able to look beyond or long term to plan for this reality in their life that they will hit 65 and that they will somehow, you know, they want to enjoy life and retire, and but they can't, so they have to work. And only 2% are able to save up and prepare for the future. And they are what we call financially independent. You know, being financially independent is the ability to decide, to make a choice, what you want to do with your life, to have a vacation when you want to have a vacation, to have, you know, to spend time with the people that you love, your children, your grandchildren at that time, or maybe great-grandchildren, okay, if you started young. And so only 2%. And we're praying that we're all going to be part of that 2%. That when that day comes, we're ready for retirement. I believe, you know, when we're talking with some of the pastors in the ministry, you don't really talk about retirement. You know, I believe that the more we age, the more valuable we become. And, you know, parang kumbaga hindi uso sa atin yung retirement, di ba? Parang even if you're 65 or 70, the message, the experience, the wisdom that you've had in the ministry will be well sought. even within the church or even outside the church. So I believe that whatever we're putting here and investing, it will really last a long time, even beyond our capability to work. Okay? And so last, before I turn it over to my lovely wife, the incomes of doctors, lawyers, and most professional people hit a high at the age of 47. And normally at that particular age, which I'm nearing already, normally that's the peak of the career of any professional individual. So whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, or career person, you hit the high of 47 and then rapidly plunge at the age of 54. This is according to stats, okay? Parang the income generation will be mostly done at that particular stage in a man's life or career, okay? And so those are some financial stats so that you can, you know, just help us understand that really money is very important for us to talk about because, you know, we're dealing with money basically every day, okay? And so we'd like to talk about a little bit about our testimony and our background as a couple.
Actually, we'd like to share with you our background when we were growing up. Kasi I think how we are trained growing up in our family financially, it will affect how we relate with one another as husband and wife. So, sige, ikaw muna, love. How were you raised by your
parents?
Sige,
sabi mo eh. Masuno rin ako. No, actually, I was raised up in a family of three kids. And the beginning days of our life as a family, we were raised up in Tondo. Okay, so the starting point of the Marquez family were I was born in Tondo. I was born in Manila, and when we were, I remember growing up, our house was about two or three blocks away from Smoky Mountain, and so we stared poverty right in front of us. And so my mom and my dad growing up really wanted to work harder. And so I remember my dad would work two jobs. He would work in Manila Times as a night shift accountant or cashier. And during daytime, he would find some odd jobs just to add on to the income. And so they had a vision that they wanted to take the family out of that place and really move into a better place. And then I realized that was really, I was grateful for my parents for doing that because many of my friends now, mm-hmm. when I went back to visit, either they're drug addicts or people in jail or parang ganun yung nangyari. No? Parang feeling ko nga, baka pagka hindi ako naalis doon, baka ganun din yung influence na lalakihan ko. At the age of 7, my mom and my dad prayed for a house elsewhere. And so for the first time, we moved into our own home. And so it was a choice between Novaliches and Parañaque. And they opted to go to Parañaque. And so we moved to Tahanan Village when I was 7 years old. And at that young age, I remember I was looking at our home. It was half done. We moved into a home with bricks, but it was not cemented. The windows were not done. It was raining when we moved in, and somehow there were leaks all over the place. But, you know, we were happy because we said, it's a new place for us. It's a new home. And I remember during that time, South Superhighway was empty. Talaga maluwag na maluwag. Walang traffic. Tahanan Village and BF were practically, you know, full of kogon grass. Talagang kami lang yata. I think we were one of the first residents in that place. And from that time on, I saw my dad pick up. He did, you know, different sorts of business. He became a tricycle driver, actually, there. Eventually, he started buying different vehicles. And we were the first one who started a bus service business in the South. And that's where, you know, from poverty, you were able to elevate into like a middle-income family. So that's my background.
Yeah. Ako naman, it's the opposite. Our family was considered well-off during that time. Growing up, I remember, I'm the youngest of 11 siblings. Okay? Kung nabuhay yung dalawa, 13 kami. Parang si Marie. Okay. I remember my neighbors and my relatives, they would, parang they would tell me, buti pa kayo, mayaman kayo. Kasi, growing up, I thought our house was a grocery store because people would come in and then when they go out, a lot of, bags of goodies from inside our house. And our house was filled with, alam niyo, mga ano pa noon eh, di ba? Yung mga, yung nasa bote pa ng mga stacks of soft drinks, gano'n. Tapos yung ano namin, puro estante ng puro candy and chocolate. I saw that growing up. So I thought, our house is a grocery store. So talagang fun growing up. And then the unexpected happened. When I turned 7, my mom had a tragic car accident and she died instantly. And that's when our life as a family went down on a downward spiral. Okay, we lost everything. My dad had several businesses kasi a Chinese as he was, talagang puro business yan. And my mom also had her own as well. Tapos nung namatay ang mommy ko, parang it was a big blow on the part of my dad. So parang nawalan siya ng business sense. He lost it. Everything in a lawsuit. He lost in a lawsuit. And then we also lost our home, our big house in the street. In that street, our house was considered the biggest along, in that road. And then we lost it through fire and everything, lahat ng gamit, wala kaming naligtas. Yung suot lang namin, bata pa ako, di ba? Parang para akong lahat nawala. So from a having everything to nothing, as in. And then my father decided to build the house again only to be bulldozed down again because of bribery. Tapos nakita ko yung mga gamit namin was also being sheriffed. I was on the other side of the street and I was looking at our house being bulldozed down by tractors. I was like that, with tears streaming down my cheeks as a very young a child. And at 12 years old, we were homeless. As in homeless. We were 11, right? Walang makakakuha sa amin ng one family. Nobody can adopt all of us together. So we were farmed out to different relatives. So that's when my life, kumaha hard knock life. Yung ani, ako yon. Talaga sumasayaw pa ako. I'm a hard knock life.
Hanggang ngayon, sumasayaw ka pa.
So that's just 1/4 of my life story. Marami pa mamaya, I'll tell you. Okay, love, go.
All right. Now, the reason why we're sharing this is not so that we can have an MMK movie or a soap opera, but somehow for us to understand that, there's a definite influence that you bring into marriage. Your background as a wife and your background as a husband actually has a relation in the way you handle finances. There's a reason why maybe some of you are probably coming from a rich family. Talagang in your mind, hindi ka mauubusan. So when you spend, talagang pag pumunta ka sa SM Ora, talagang kala mo ikaw may-ari nung Forever 21. Parang gano'n ang dating, di ba? And yung iba naman, because you came from a poor family, you feel that parang, wala nang tomorrow. Okay? So every money that you earn, you are very careful because you're not sure if this will actually still be consistent. And so there's a, of course, you all have gone through Victory Week and an inner healing. And I understand that. Okay, so we're done with that. But somehow, there are influences that we bring in.
Yeah, into our marriage.
Yeah, it's not necessarily bad or good. For example, somebody who's a hoarder or a spender, if you look at the opposite of that, okay, the hoarder is somebody who's probably good in savings and investing. And the spender is probably one who is so generous and he can actually be a philanthropist. So it can work both ways. And so very important yung malaman natin yung background natin. But we're talking about two things here, no? I believe that knowing God's role is the foundation of contentment. Wherever you are, whatever you have right now, whether you are well-to-do, whether you have savings, whether you're just starting, I think if you have a an understanding of who God is and the nature of God and how He faithfully provides, that is the foundation of contentment. And so we're going to talk about two parts or two roles this morning. So we have God's part or God's role, and then we have our role or our part. Okay, so let's dive in straight to God's part. Okay, so when you look at the name of God, and if you study the Bible, you'll notice that there's a lot of names. There's about 250 names of God, from Jehovah to Nisi to Makedesh to Sitkenu to Rohi to Shalom to Shama. And so the different names of God pertain to the different kinds of relationship that He has for us as His people. But there's one particular name that basically sums up, okay, how He relates with us in the area of finances. And this is the name. His name is Master. Okay, so when you talk about His name, yeah, there's Elohim, there's Jehovah, and those are the different other names of God. But when you deal with finances, His name is Master. He is the one who has the authority over everything that we have. And so with that, we have to understand God's part. Okay, first is God is owner. Sabi mo sa katabi mo, owner. Okay, God is the owner. God is the owner of everything that we have. Okay, in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And you can find that in your notes. Okay, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine," declares the Lord. You'll see that in Psalm 30, verse 10. "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." It's interesting to know that He owns every cow on the planet, and yet He doesn't eat hamburger. He doesn't need it. Okay, that's how rich our God is. And He's created all these things not for Himself, but for us. He's created beings, diba? And so we can get a hint that everything on earth is His, and yet it's given to us for our enjoyment. Okay? You want to enter now? Oh, okay. So if God owns everything, then that means that when we give our tithes to the Lord, not only is He interested in the 10%, but He's as much interested in the 90%, because 100% of our finances belongs to Him anyway. Okay? So this means that every spending decision is also a spiritual decision. How you spend the 90% is as much spiritual than the 10% or so that you give on Sundays. Okay? So that's not just the spiritual part or the holy part or the, you know, this is the set aside part for God. But guess what? I have news for you this morning. Since God is owner, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the 90% belongs to Him anyway. And we will give an account to the Lord with everything that we use our finances with. Okay? You know, there's a story of a pastor who actually went to one Asian country. And he stayed in a hotel, and he normally brings extra cash in his trip. And so he put the cash, I think, in the vault. But somehow, during the trip, he was not able to check every day. At the very last day, when he was about to come back home, he realized that the money, about 1,500, is gone. So he reported it to the manager, and so parang, you know, they were looking for it. They checked, I think, the CCTV camera. They couldn't find anything or anyone who entered the room. And so, long and short of it, he went home without recovering the 1,500. And this is what he said to me. Sabi niya ganoon, "Well, baka may nangangailangan ng 1,500. 1,500 lang naman yan, kaya ibalik ni Lord yan." And I realized he has an understanding that ultimately God owns his finances. And if you know, if you realize that God owns everything, then if you lose something, it doesn't hurt that much. Hindi sa'yo yun eh. You know, there's one couple who lent us a vehicle while my car was being repaired, and we had that vehicle for about a week. And so I took care of that vehicle. You know, I cleaned it every day, put gas in it. But when it was time for us to return that vehicle, it didn't hurt much. Why? Hindi akin yun eh. That's the concept of ownership. Since you don't own that thing, then if that thing is taken away from you, it doesn't hurt that much. But if you're given something, our attitude is gratefulness, and we say, "God, thank you so much for entrusting to me this thing that I can enjoy while I'm here."
Yeah, speaking about God being the owner of everything, it's been tested in our marriage countless times. Okay, there was one time early on in our marriage, we decided to get a, di ba uso pa noon yung 80s, you get a educational plan, college educational plan for your children. So wala pa kaming children noon. No children yet, zero age. We decided because we want to ensure his or her college education. So we got a four-year plan, and then we religiously paid for the premium, and then we completed paying it for 4 years. And then, okay, here comes Bea. Yes, thank you, Lord. Wow, check. Come on, Lord, thank you. Ano na, settled na, okay na, set na yung college education ni Bea. Okay, college. First 2 years when Bea was in college, the company, ano pa rin, they covered. But on the third year, eto na, we were having difficulty reimbursing. Kasi meron nagkaroon ng problema sa in that educational insurance company. And then they stopped paying us. So sabi namin, Lord, how do we do this? Tapos pray kami, Lord. We acknowledge again that you own everything. And during that time, ayan na si Anna at Andrea. So they are also going to school. So tuition fees, so sabay-sabay. Pero sabi namin, Lord, sige, ano nga eh, nawalan nga kami ng anak. Ano ba naman tong educational fund? So okay lang, I know you'll provide, you own everything and all. And then, you wanna share?
Sure.
Yun, diba the Lord provided faithfully. Si Bea was able to go to Singapore to have her exchange student program. So we're thankful kasi everything was provided for, from tuition fee to accommodation, plane fare, and also the allowances, and pocket money, and shopping.
Yeah.
So we, yung sabi ni Pastor Jerry kanina, we really can't outgive God. So, praise God. Natapos na si Bea. Yay!
Yes, she graduated yesterday. The other day, in La Salle, from Comm Arts, and she already has a job, so officially I have a taxpayer in my home, aside from us. And so, God has been faithful. He is the owner. And so, if you lose something, I realize that it doesn't hurt that much if you realize that, ultimately, Lord, you're the one who will provide. And so, we look to God as our source of provision. And so, the second name of God, or the second role that God plays, is He is controller. Not only is He owner, but He is controller of our finances. In Psalm 135, verse 6, the Lord does whatever pleases Him in heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Okay, so God has the ultimate control of every event, everything that happens on this planet, even in our own lives. Whatever you've gone through individually, God has an ultimate. He was not surprised that you actually went through that. He knows exactly what you've gone through, and He is the one who controls everything that happens in our lives. And so we can take faith in that because God is a good God. He definitely would not like for us to be harmed. In Chronicles 29, verse 12, it says, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things." And so what does this mean? If God is controller, then He is in charge even in the most difficult situations in our lives. Since God is controller, then He is the one who determines whether you're born in this family or that family. Okay, He determines that you are not born in the Ayala family or in the C family. Sana na lang, sana nga eh. Sana we could have actually had a, sana Lord, pinanganak na lang ako sa ganitong pamilya. But in His sovereignty, He is the one who actually placed you in that home, having that surname, and having that particular background. And with that, we can actually just go and trust Him and say, God, I know you have a purpose in my life. That's why you placed me here. Okay?
Okay. I have an illustration also. God being the controller. The house we're living in now is rent to own. Okay? But 4 years prior to this arrangement, it was pure rental, okay? And it came in furnished. So wala kaming dinala na kahit ano. Everything is ano ha, the furniture are all brand new, as in we are the first ones who occupied that house and using all the furniture from the dining table, tables, kasi dalawang tables, to sofa, to beds. Even aircon, even the curtains.
The blinds, yeah.
Huh? the ref, the gas range, everything. Ang dinala ko lang doon is our piano and my counter table. Yun ang favorite ko. That's where I usually do my baking and stuff. Okay, and then when we agreed to buy the property, the owner told us, sige, I'll give you 2 years to buy your own furniture. Okay, eto na. So, sige, yes, Lord. Okay. But unfortunately, those 2 years, we weren't able to save up for the furniture. Okay, so eto na. One day, we received a notice saying that in a few weeks or what, we're going to pull out all the furniture. So sabi ko, Lord, sige, okay lang. Miski mawala lahat yung furniture. Miski, it means that my children will sleep on the floor. We will eat on the floor. We'll sit on the floor. It's gonna be a happy family, happy time together. So sabi ko, pero alam mo yun, parang deep inside me, parang, okay, kaya ko ba to, Lord? Parang we don't have, ano eh, wala eh, walang, wala kaming na, ano eh, ang dami nun. Pero we are comforting ourselves. Sige, love, okay lang. We'll just buy one. Tapos, okay lang yan, kaya natin yan. Tapos, ito yung clincher. Okay lang sa akin, when they were pulling out the gas range, yung pinagbibikan ko, kasi talagang masyadong, ano sa akin, may sentimental value yung gas range na yun. Talagang, when the boys, yung buhat boys were carrying the gas range out to the door, sabi ko, sa gas range, thank you. Thank you for serving me for 5 years. Thank you for being faithful to me. I will never forget you. I will miss you. Pero umiiyak ako. Hindi ko pinapakita sa mga anak ko, pero umiiyak ako. Pero yun yung sinasabi ko talagang, hindi ko sinasabi ng, aloud. I'm saying it in my heart, pero nakaganon ako. Honestly, I was devastated. Kayo ba naman mawala ng lahat ng gamit sa bahay nyo? As in empty. Talagang my girls would really play in the sala, hindi lang sa labas. Wow, yeah, saya nila, wala silang kamalay-malay. Natutulog sila floor. Yay, saya, saya. You know, I felt like I've lost everything again. So I go, Lord, how many times will I lose things in my life? Ang dami nang nawala from bata. Hanggang ngayon ba naman? Ganun ako. But then again, God said, I'm in control. Don't worry. Ganyan. One day, a call came. He received a call from the owner telling him, I'm planning to return all your furniture. Is it okay? Bagong varnish siya, fully refurbished,
newly upholstered.
Okay lang ba sa'yo? Tapos ganito pala ha, just pay it when you're able. Kung ang maganda niyan, after you finish paying the amortization in 9 or 10 years, that's when you pay na lang, okay? Okay lang ba yun? Tapos not the full amount. I-discount na natin ng 30% pa. Sabi ko, Lord, what are you doing? Talagang, are you just testing us? How many times are you gonna test us? Minsan nakakapagod, but this is life. Life is an adventure. So, talagang grabe. God is really in control. Okay? That's a rhema in my life, in our life.
Nakatawa yung furniture, in and out din. What?
Tapos, nung dumating yung gas range ko, yung ovens, ang saya-saya ko, welcome back! Welcome back! Ang saya-saya ko, nag-bake ako. That day, nag-bake agad ako. Talaga. Ang galing lang ni Lord, di ba? Sobra. Okay.
And ultimately, since God is controller, God determines whatever or what to give to whomever He likes. So He controls, our families, our economic situation. He's the one in charge of that. Of course, we have our own roles as well later on. But if we realize that, God is ultimately responsible for us, then we can actually sleep peacefully at night. Third role that God has is He is provider. Okay? He is provider. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, we're familiar with this. Okay, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know, I believe that all of you, all of us, have your similar testimonies in the way God provided. You know, this is just one story. We have countless of stories how God provided for us, from houses to cars to, you know, it's amazing that when you sow something, you know, sometimes if you sow one and, you know, when you sow a seed, you will not just get one seed back. You're getting several seeds back. But if you sow, you know, I remember when Shirley was sowing a mango seed in our backyard, here in our current house, sabi niya ganun, this is like, parang kumakain siya ng mangga, Indian mango. Tinanim niya sa likod namin. Wala lang. Tinanim lang niya. We didn't realize that it will actually grow into a mango tree. For several years, it's been bearing fruit. And it's not just benefiting us, but even our neighbors. So talagang pitas na pitas yung mga tao. And somehow, God is like that. When you sow something, it comes back. And I'm pretty sure that you all have your testimony on how God provided for you. Okay, from education to cars. You know, the car I'm driving right now, truth be told, I didn't pay a centavo for that. Okay, so, you know, we've sown like 2 cars in the past. And this is not to brag, but somehow when God spoke to us to sow in the building, you know, we faithfully just gave. And so, you know, the outcome of those cars, actually in the past, I think we've been given like 4 or 5 cars already. And, you know, the seed that you've sown, it will continue coming back in your life. And so, God is provider. Philippians 4:19, we focused on this last weekend. And my God will supply all your needs, not your greeds, right? You know, our needs, basic needs, valid needs, but according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so, in providing, God is both predictable and unpredictable. Predictable in the sense that God is predictable in His faithfulness. You know that God's going to come through. When you have a need, you know that darating yan eh. The question is, or the unpredictability part is, how? Lord, papaano mo gagawin to? Like yung gas range si Shirley, parang, Lord, sige, we know, magpo-provide ka, we know na from full to empty yung house namin. We know, Lord, sige, somehow, you know, you can prophesy all you want, you can confess it all you want, but you don't know when it will come, okay, or how He'll do it. And so it just happened. And so, yeah, because you know the very nature of God, He is providing, then we can actually have peace, okay? So, akin yan? Okay. So let's move on. This is our part, okay? Stewardship. Okay, we're steward before the Lord. And so as stewards, we're managers and we're the supervisors. Okay, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Okay, so basically, if we understand the role of God, is that enough for us? Can we just sit and not work anymore? No, we have things to do as well. We have a role to perform. If you know that God is master, His owner, His controller, His provider, then what's our role? We're stewards, okay? We're to actually steward what God has given us. And John Wesley, he said this with our income: earn all you can, give all you can, save all you can. Determine the tension that you have with your finances. You know, it's not all of us. When God provides for us, di ba, hindi naman ubusin natin lahat yun. We're going to be talking about margins later on. But it's us to determine the balance between how much to give, how much to save, and how much we can actually spend. Okay? There are 4 ways to get rich. First is to inherit it. Sino rito ang may mga rich parents? Okay? That's an easy way to get rich, okay? To inherit it. Second is to marry it. Maybe, kung single ka, pakasalan mo isang milyonaryo, then you're rich, di ba? Third is, you either win it, di ba? You win a jackpot prize or, you know, of course, di tayo niniwala dyan sa swerte, no? Kasi malas daw yun. But anyway, so, but the surefire way to be rich is to spend less than you earn over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. To set aside something from your income, and that's one good principle to live by. So here's the first way to be a good steward. Number one is to pray and to trust God. And I believe that pagka tuition na fees na, close tayo ni Lord, di ba? Ganun talaga yun eh. You know, if there are expenses, talagang close na close tayo ni Lord. Talagang Lord, di ba? You know, yung sweetness mo kay Lord, iba. Iba talaga. Pagka yung alam mo yung mga pangangailangan, talagang, ewan ko ba? So, you know, that's the first part, no? And we have to understand that His job is to provide, our job is to trust. Okay?
Yeah. May illustration na naman ako dito in trusting God. There was a time early on in our marriage when we were having challenges financially, okay? The DIY in me decided to help God in providing. Okay, so I decided to engage in small-scale businesses. Naalala nyo ba yon? Nagde-decorate ako during Christmas season. Busy ako pag Christmas season, di nyo ako makikita. I also engage in small catering business, providing food for small, ano lang naman, group of people. And the flower shop from, di ba, from, I would do,
weddings.
From, yeah, weddings, from birthday up to funeral. Covered gulat yun. Nung araw. Okay. And then I also did my banoffee pie business, di ba? Okay din yun. Profitable din yun during Christmas season. Okay, I earned a little to help augment in his income in providing for our domestic needs. Pero pagod na pagod ako. As in, it was so tiring. Physically tiring, di ba, Aileen? Maalis ako ng maaga, umuwi ako ng gabi. It cost me my time with my family. Nagluluto nga ako sa iba. Ano ko naman, sarili kong pamilya, hindi ko malutuan. Okay?
Take out kami.
There was a time I can see Jerome, lalo na pag Christmas season. There was a time na hindi ko na enjoy ang holiday kasi nga sobrang busy. Parang kaya sabi ko ganun, Lord, is it worth doing this? Tapos sabi sa akin ni Lord, alam mo anak, I know that you want to help your husband, but did I ask you to do this exact thing? Kasi minsan pinapangunahan mo ko, you are relying in your own ability. Magaling kang ano, ganito. Alam mo yung, I didn't even ask God. Kumbaga, I just went on, sige Lord, tutulungan ko yung asawa ko kasi I believe that hard work brings profit. Oo. Ganun ako, kasi ganun ako lumaki eh. At 12 years old, I started working na all my way through college. Okay, so sanay ako talaga nagtatrabaho. Pero yun nga, sabi Lord sa akin, you're striving, okay? You and Ariel are going in opposite directions. Your role is to support, okay? But do you know that I can bless you with much more financially? You don't have to do that, your so-called work. Sinulat ko dito kasi that's the exact word of God to me during that time. Sabi niya, yes, you see, Cheryl. Cheryl, patawag ni Lord sa akin, di Shirley. Best friend kami. you believe, but you're wearing yourself out, you're trusting your own ability to provide, and not my ability to provide for you. Then it's not going to be enough. Sabi niya sa akin, sige, strive ka. It's not going to be enough. You will just find yourself always needing and wanting. It's not gonna be enough. Sabi niya sa akin, I'm not negating your gifts. I gave that to you. But I don't want you to express it in that way. Ask your husband, talk about it. Sabi niya, I'm giving you that gift as a channel, as a tool, and as a funnel. Not in that way. I'm not saying that I'm not gonna have business in the future, ha? Nung time lang na yun, kasi gusto ko pa rin mag-business, love. In the future.
Okay lang.
So during that time, kasi relying on my own ability and effort, lahat puro ako. Okay? And true enough, when we decided for me to stop, wow, the blessing of God just kept on pouring in. Talagang, we were blessed countless times na pag inad mo lahat yon, yung if I had work, yung mas naintindihan nyo, parang yung work ko na effort and all and striving, it ano pa exceeded what God has blessed us with financially. So during those years, we've learned to put our confidence and trust in God. Yung care niya and providence, I believe kasi, you know, I realized whenever I choose to use my gifting to help Him fulfill His God-given role, the Lord is blessing me. The Lord is blessing us. Honestly.
Blessed na rin ako.
Parang purpose precedes provision. Laging ganon in our married life. So, anyway. Yeah. So, I'm happy.
Yep. And we're not saying naman that if you have like extra income or maybe a sideline business, that's wrong. Okay? That's what we're saying. What we're saying is, hear God, because each season in our life is unique. You know, there's probably a season in your life when you have kids that are young and they need extra attention. No? But I guess if your kids are older, then sabi nga ni Shirley, in the future, she'll pick that up. Okay lang sa akin, you know, do that if you want, if that will make you happy.
Papalakiin ko muna yung dalawa.
Yeah, and probably they're gonna be your, you know, baka tumulong pa sa iyo, because we all have girls. No? So so anyway, so that's, you know, you pray and trust. Second, okay naman? Okay. So second, just moving along, is, we need to live within our means, okay? And we're just gonna focus on this, camp on this a while. And you know, I know that you all have six points there. The others are just fill in. We kind of revise this because of the time. But living within your means really speaks a lot. You know, it's acting your wage, whatever you have, whatever your income is. And I realize that not all of us have the same income process. Some are fixed, some are a bit flexible. Maybe those who are married to pastors doing MPD or campus missionaries, then medyo hindi pare-pareho yung ano no yung income. So definitely we just have to navigate as you go through this. Living within your means means living on less than what you make. It's creating margins basically, okay? So that is what living within your means, okay? So when you talk about margin, remember that time when you were in, like in grade one, when the teachers are teaching you how to write, you know, they'll say, get a sheet of paper, I remember, an intermediate pad, okay? And then get your ruler and write a margin on your left. Remember that? We did that when I was in grade one, I think, or maybe kinder. So we got a ruler, put a margin on the left, sabi niya, linyahan mo yon, okay? Draw a straight line on the left. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the margin. And the teacher told us, don't ever write on the left side. You start from this margin to the right. And why is that? Margin is actually giving an allowance, okay? It's an amount, or it's the amount available beyond what is necessary. It's a difference between what you have and what you need. In life, we need to have margins, not just in finances, but I believe that in life, in general. For example, if you're coming to a meeting which starts at 9 o'clock, then you have to allow extra margin, give enough extra margin so that you can actually park, di ba dito? Tapos take the van. And if you know that it'll take you maybe about 15 minutes to do that, then maybe arrive at that parking lot mga 8:15, or sorry, 8:30 or about 8:40, so that you have enough margin to come here and be on time for this meeting. That's margin. Margin is also used in the area of relationships, di ba? Margin is the ability to forgive if you've been wrong, if you have offenses, di ba? The margin that you put there is the ability to, okay, parang papadama mo sa kanya, di ba? Because, you know, in our relationship for the past 23 years, we've put margins, okay? The ability to love more is there because of the margins we've placed, okay? And so, margin is also used in the area of temptation, di ba? You put enough leeway, you know, Pastor CJ preached an excellent preaching on that, you know, it's still ringing in my ears and in my heart. Yung sinabi niya about overcoming temptation, di ba? Putting a wall before that disaster strikes. And so, in the area of finances, margins are very important. If you're earning, for example, 30,000 or 20,000 a month, margin would say that you have to spend somewhere below that line. Okay, so if you're earning 20,000 and if your expenses are 15,000 pesos, the margin there is the 5,000 pesos. So it's critical for us to create margins. You know, I've taught budgeting, and sometimes it can be too complicated, especially if you're not an accountant. Now I realize this is much easier for us. to have determined, parang intuitive. Okay, if you have a margin, then you can actually live with what is there allowed for expenses. Okay, in Proverbs 21 verse 20, it says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." It didn't say in the house of the righteous are stores of choice food, but a sinner devours all. It says in the house of the wise are stores of choice food. He actually distinguished between the wise and the foolish. It says in the house of the wise. It didn't say in the house of the two income family. It didn't say in the house of the rich are stores of choice food. It didn't say in the house of those who have a bigger paycheck have stores of choice food. It says in the house of the wise are stores of choice food. You know, we normally do groceries together as a family. And, you know, from time to time, Bae would open the ref and sabi niya ganun, "There's no food." Pero sabi namin, "May food naman." You know, there's a lot of food there. In Bae's definition of food, there's no junk food. Para sa kanya pala. So now in our home, we've defined in the house of the wise are stores of junk food and good food. Parang ganun, okay? And so we made sure that there's enough, more than enough. And so the question there is, are we wise enough to have stores of choice food and even stores in the area of finances? Or are we the foolish man who will devour everything we have? You know, when you talk about financial margin is what many people do not have, no? You know, what does it mean to have financial margin? It is having available funds at the end of the month. Sometimes, di ba, mas marami pa yung buwan kaysa pera. May araw ka pa, wala ka ng pera. Parang ganun, di ba? Parang hindi pa dumadaan yung, hindi pa tapos yung buwan, tapos kailangan mo na. And normally, when you look at your finances, when you receive it, it just came to pass. It came and it passed. Okay? It came to pass. Di ba? Parang dumaan lang, hindi mo man lang naramdaman. Di ba? So, we have to make sure that we create enough leeway and margins in our finances. It means having extra income to give out. It means having money available to help those in need. It means having money available if you want a family vacation. That's margin. Okay? You create that. Margin is having the ability to be at rest and not be stressed and worried about your future. You have anything? I'm just gonna. Anyway, there's a tale of two families who don't have really time to. You know, there's a big difference between being rich and looking rich. It's about lifestyle. And the lifestyle that we choose will really affect the margin that we have. Mm-hmm. Diba? You know, sometimes you have these people, for example, you know, they live in a nice home, they live in a nice neighborhood, but yung pala lahat yun, hindi kanila. Okay? It's all about perception. But, you know, looking rich lang. But, you know, being rich is you may be driving a simple car or you may be living in a simple home, and yet, in your home, you have stores of choice food. Diba? That is real prosperity there and more than just a show.
He's talking about margin. Siguro ikaw muna to lang. Yan.
Ako na yan?
Yung yan.
Sige. The reason why there's no margin is usually not an income problem. It's a lifestyle problem. You know, whatever income we have, it really depends. Because I remember when I was, when we were receiving a meager income, sabi namin, "Lord, bigyan mo kami ng mas malaking income." Nung binigay ni Lord, kulang pa rin. Pray na naman tayo. Okay, "Lord, bigyan mo kami ng mas malaking income from 20,000 to, doblehin mo naman, 40,000 naman." Pagka dumating yun, kulang na naman. Bakit ganon, di ba? And the more you pray, you realize na parang kulang pa rin. Because sometimes, when you have the income, you also adjust your lifestyle. Di ba? Parang, sinasabayan mo. So, ang nangyayari doon, walang naiiwan. But the secret there is contentment. You gotta be content with where you have. Contentment is having the ability to thank the Lord whatever situation that you have.
You know, we began to realize that, I realized that what makes a man unhappy, it's not poverty. It is discontentment. So we may be having financial difficulty, but you know, we're not masaya, we'll still be happy. And sometimes, I know a lot of people who have a lot. I know you know a lot of people who have a lot financially, but they're not happy. So it's really the condition of the heart. Sige lang.
Yes. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 10, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." People who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves from many grief. Okay, I remember when we were younger, me and Bernard would play Monopoly, not for hours, but for days. We were so consumed with this game back in the, you know, back in the 80s. So we were, I think, in elementary and high school. We would, you know, the object of the game, diba, is to acquire property, if you're familiar with Monopoly. So, you know, my goal there is to always beat Bernard. Mm-hmm. Talaga sabi ko, gusto kong talunin ito lagi. Parang ganon. Either I beat him or I make the bank bankrupt. Ganun ang goal ko. No? So, every time we would play the Monopoly game, you know, when we would come home from school, we would pull the Monopoly from under our bed because hindi namin nililigpit yun. Okay? For days, we would play that. And so, after dinner, we'd play again. And then, when it's time for us to sleep, we would put it back under the bed. And then we would resume the game the next day. And so until nga somebody's bankrupt. But I realized after the end of the game, everything will go back into the box. Everything, all the pieces, the board, the Monopoly board. And that's kind of what our life looks like. You may actually have a lot of accumulation. You may do everything that you can. But all of this life, After it all, it will all go back in the box. We will all be in the box. We can never bring these things that we accumulate to the next life. Well, everything will stay here. And, you know, but what I remember during that time is the laughter, the time spent with Bernard. Yun ang naalala ko more than, I didn't even know how many times I won over Bernard, di ba, Ivy? Okay. Pero, you know, pero what I remember are the fun times together. And I believe that that is also life. It's not about accumulating a lot. It's about the relationship that you've built along the way. Okay. Now, how do we create financial margin? Very simple lang to. So, you know, this is very practical. I want to end in a few minutes. Okay? Simple lang. Earn more or spend less. Yun lang. Okay? Of course, the earning more part there, we can trust God. And you know, sometimes you will just be amazed how God provides for our needs. Diba? Kanina sinabi ko, in providing, sometimes it's so unpredictable that even when you don't expect it, some money will come. Okay? And I'm sure you've had that. Okay? Or if the money is not there, then you adjust your expenses accordingly. You spend less. Okay? Practice the 20-80 rule. Okay? You save up 20%. Live of the 80. Okay, of course, you give your tithes. Or some people do a more radical step. 30% savings or margin, 70% you know, expenses. Now, how do we be a good... this is actually number 5 of your handouts. We're skipping the number 3, which is work on a budget. And then the 4th is getting out of debt. If you realize that you need to create budget, this actually will happen naturally. Okay, you will get out of debt so that you can actually create margins. Okay, and so the number 5 there is save and invest. Okay, Proverbs 13:11 says, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow." Pakunti-kunti lang. Okay, you don't have to start with a million to end up with millions in your bank. All you've got to do is to start early. Start now. Bea just got a job. And, you know, even before she graduated, the company that she actually went to for OJT did not want to lose her anymore. So they hired her right away, even before she graduated. And so she's already, like, earned 2 checks already, even before the actual graduation. So she's asking me, "Dad, teach me also how to manage my finances." And I'm telling her, you start now. It doesn't take much. Just put a little every month from your income. And I believe that when you are a little bit older, you have a lot more. And it, you know, and that's the principle. He who gathers little by little will make it grow. Because the best way to save is to spend less than you earn over a long period of time. And to make it easy and not stressful, we make it automatic. Sometimes the reason why we are so stressed out with our finances, kasi nga, you plan it too much. But things nowadays are automated. Diba? You have automated machines, diba? You have automatic dryer, you have everything is automatic, diba? Ano ba automatic? Meron pa nga, diba? Automatic husband or wife sa Vegas, diba? But anyway, so everything is automatic. You can actually automate your finances. Okay? It says you don't need the discipline in savings. If you don't have discipline in savings, then just make it automatic. What we did was, here, at least here in Metro Manila, when we met before with Pastor, with Gigi, we have this, maybe you're familiar with this already, about the FAMI thing. They take out a certain amount from your monthly income, and then you won't see it anymore. It goes straight to the investment. Okay, it's placed in a mutual fund. You can choose what kind of risk that you will have. The bigger the risk, the greater the yield. You know, man, principle don't it. But if you are not an investor who wants a big risk, then be conservative with your investment. So that's how we do it. Okay, we make things automatically. You don't see it anymore, but in the future, it's already growing. Okay, it's learning. Paying yourself first. Is actually a principle here, diba? Many times, what we do is we earn the income, we give our tithes and offerings, and then we spend everything on our expenses, and lastly, we wait for the savings, which normally does not happen. After tithes and offerings, what you do now is you put aside your savings and then spend the rest. Kasi safe na yung savings. And that is what I call margin, because it's there already. If you already gave to God, and you already paid yourself, spend the rest without guilt. Mm-hmm. It's as easy as that. We don't have to make it complicated anymore. The budgeting process is a lot easier now. Okay? It's just a matter of prioritizing which. Okay? Because there's a basic principle, out of sight, out of mind. If you don't see it, chances are, you can't spend it. Yeah. Diba? You can't touch it. Diba? Hindi mo na mahawakan yan because it's already going straight to the investment. Okay, and last, you know, we normally have this as an accountant, diba? Income minus expenses equals savings. But we need to reverse the equation. It should be income minus savings equals expenses. So you live off the difference after that.
Yeah, I want to share as we close, yung story namin when we were starting. I married Ariel 1990, okay? I knew that he will be in the full-time ministry. I didn't care nga whether he'll be a business finance manager or a pastor. Basta I knew in my heart that he will be in full-time ministry. So in 1991, Pastor Steve asked him to join. Noong una ako pa nga as an accountant, pero parang mas nakita niya si Ariel, hindi ako, kasi double and
anyway. Buy one, take one.
So, during the early years in our movement, di ba, dalawa pa lang yung churches, the U-Belt and the Makati churches. So, yung offering natin, literally heavy, kasi coins lang lahat. So we had a meager salary during that time, but we were, you know, content living in a small apartment. We even could not afford a maid. And I remember parang last week lang when I was fixing our drawer, nakita ko to, tignan nyo. I'm sorry. Tignan mo, torn and so old. 19, love, can you read? I cannot see.
1993. Sorry.
1993.
It's actually our spending ledger.
Yeah, our spending notebook. Alam mo, it brought back a lot of memories. Parang Lord, parang nagsimula lang kami dito. Ang faithful mo naman. Biro mo, kung papakita ko sa inyo, magtataka kayo how we survived. As in, talagang we couldn't afford a maid. Tapos, yung rent natin, parang
2.9 ba?
hindi, parang 4 plus na nun eh, with the small salary. So anyway, I was crying. Tapos pinakita ko kay Bea. Sabi ko, Bea, you see how faithful God is, no? Parang from this to where we are right now, not saying na, but we're okay eh, kasi we're okay now. You know, we've experienced a lot talaga financially. And then, you know, there was a time also, nung time na yon na medyo we were experiencing difficulty nga, no, financially, he decided to join a networking business. And then talagang he was really earning quite a big amount during that time. Tapos sabi niya, love, I will resign from the ministry. Okay? Are you okay? Wala ako sumasagot. Sabi niya, love, we will travel the world. Wow, sa ko, wow, very, ano ha?
Visionary.
Tapos, pero deep, I kept silent, but deep inside me, sabi ko, this, I don't think this is the path the Lord is taking us or we're supposed to go. Tapos, he resigned. Talagang he resigned na. I kept silent, but the anxiety, I felt it physically in me. I developed 11 cold sores in my mouth. I couldn't eat. I lost a lot of weight. One Sunday, Deborah approached me and she said, Shirley, is there something wrong? Are you okay? Sabi ko, no, I'm not okay because Ariel just resigned. You didn't know? He submitted his resignation. It's with Pastor Steve, blah, blah, blah. And I was crying and then we talked. And then, sabi ko ganun sa kanya, love, it's not about pursuing money. It's pursuing God's purpose in our life. I believe that if we do that, kasi sanay ako nang wala naman eh. Okay ako eh. Kumbaga, I always tell him, love, I'd rather not eat than having debts. I can't live with debts. Parang I just couldn't. Kaya sabi sa kanya, love, okay ako, we don't have to travel the world, I don't need nice jackets like this. Then sabi ko, love, you shouldn't be pressured. Basta okay ako, I'm content, mga anak natin, okay naman, I'm okay with that. And then, yun nga, obviously, we're still here, we're serving God.
Binawi ko resignation ko.
So binawi niya, buti na lang, buti na lang. So, you know, bottom line.
I was not yet a pastor then at that time. I was the accountant of the church. I was not yet a pastor. So.
Hindi, pastor ka na noon.
Hindi, paano pa lang? Pa-transition pa lang.
Basta bottom line, ladies.
It was nga a choice between pastoring and going for business. So, Steve said, you know, from sabi niya ganun, Steve told me, no, I believe you're gonna be a pastor. But sabi ko, parang hindi ko business. So, it was just that tug. Mm-hmm. So either I go out of the ministry before I became a pastor or...
Mm-hmm. As a bottom line, I wouldn't trade what we have now, the fulfillment of serving God, diba? For the world. Ladies, this is the best job ever.
Yep.
Okay, this is our green pasture. Yeah. Sabi ko nga, I'd rather be certain and sure that this is... where God wants us together as a family and experiencing but little of the world, but then being in the world and not having God there with you, di ba? Agree kayo doon? So, I remember C.S. Lewis, if I'm correct, the safest place on earth is in the will of God. This is the will of God for our life. So, yeah. It's not a matter of kumbaga, yung provision, we're beyond that na eh. Okay na kami. Kumbaga, whether or not God will provide, we will still do this till our last breath.
But God will provide.
But God. But yun na, God will provide. Okay? Thank
All right.
you.